Coaches are always on time.
Coaches are always punctual. Elliot, our summer series of podcasts continues. This is 31 Thoughts, brought to you by the next generation GMC Sierra, Denali. And in moments, we will welcome aboard Joel Quenneville, the head coach of the Florida Panthers. One of, you can say it, not that we're trying to wrap up the career, but one of the greatest coaches in the history of the game. True or false?
True. How many guys have three cups?
It's been remarkable. Joel Quenneville joins us on 31 Thoughts, the podcast. Now, Joel, this is our summer series of podcasts. How are you enjoying your summer? And I'm guessing you're smiling a little bit deeper and maybe richer after seeing what your GM did around free agency.
Yeah, we had a great couple of days. When I say that, going into it, we had 7 or 8 days visiting with some players, talked to a lot of guys in that process, and we felt we really helped our team in all the areas we're looking to improve. And I think, obviously, getting Sergei in the net was very vital for what we need. And then getting Anton Stralman, we feel we got to improve our back end. Got Connolly can score some goals. Had a good year last year. Hopefully, he can keep improving at that rate. And then we got a kind of a checking type of center who gives us some energy, and Noel Cherry. So I think that all of a sudden, you look, when you're making up lines now, you got a little balance, you got a little bit more depth, you got more options, and an area needed improvements that was in the, with Roberto retiring, obviously it was a major hole we had to fix, and then Sergei coming in there was a perfect need and fit, and Anton helps stabilize the back end.
Joel, do you like the meeting period that week? Like, some people hate it, some people love it. Where do you stand on that?
Well, it's all new. It's all new, and being a part of it was different. Got to visit with some players. You know, you get an understanding of where they're at and what they're looking for. One thing that was unique is almost like everybody was looking forward to coming to South Florida, which was, you know, maybe in the past there was there could have been hesitation, but there's a lot of nice things about where we're at as a team and organization. Dale's done a nice job of building with some of these young guys in the cornerstone of the team and the franchise. The upside is real. I think people think that it's you got a chance to win down there. Obviously, there's some nice perks of living in Florida with the climate. It's something different than certain markets as well. I'm looking forward to that newness as well. You know, I think we're at a stage where, you know, we feel as a team we got to take the next step. You know, you watch our team play last couple of years. It's a pretty good hockey team in a lot of ways. They're in almost every single hockey game, lost some tough games, critical points that could have made a difference getting in the playoffs. We feel as a team make some improvements in certain areas. Obviously, special teams was one of the strengths last year. We need to find a way to keep the puck out of our net as a group, and I think you know, something we try to reinforce at the beginning of the year, because kind of comparable when I think of the teams we had in Chicago. We had teams, we never had to worry about scoring goals. I think this team can score goals as well. Let's make sure we prioritize how we defend it.
What was the best question anyone asked you about playing for you?
I think everybody wants to know where they're going to play, kind of like the quality of the ice time or the quantity of ice time. I think that everybody looks for kind of a reassurance in that area. I know that when you go into a season, you know, I think you're the guys that that are coming into the program, obviously you're going to give them that chance to play to their strengths, and that opportunity goes as you, over time, you know, then you got to make decisions based on progressing performances and then allocate ice time based on that. That's kind of how we've always operated. But certainly I think guys like to know that, give me an idea where we're going to fit, who are my likely line mates or who potentially I'm going to get to play with and the opportunity to play. You know, you can promise special teams, but I think that's an earned type of thing, and we like to reward guys based on performance more than something that was said in the off season. So kind of earn your type of quality or quantity of ice.
Joel, because your most recent job was, of course, Chicago, and your general manager, Dale Talon, of course, came from Chicago with the Blackhawks as well. We'll always be looking for similarities between the Florida Panthers and the Chicago Blackhawks, and the one that jumps right out at me, can you tell us, in your own words, similarities between Jonathan Toews and Alexander Barkov?
Well, they're both 200-foot players. They're both very competitive. They're very focused. I mean, it's all about hockey. It's all about how they can be the best they can be. They're all about making people around them better. Lead by example, the way they prepare themselves. It's all about winning. Johnny's proven that he's gotten to the next level. We need Barkey to be the next guy to get in the playoffs and play meaningful games. And as we're going, you know, that's where we're looking for him to pull that guys along with him. Probably not as vocal as Johnny, but, you know, I think you got to be yourself. That's basically what makes leaders be the best leaders they can be, is be themselves and make people around them better.
You know, Joel, when you got to Chicago and you took over, those were still guys on their rookie deals. A lot of the guys you have in Florida are on their second deals. But I'm wondering, do you see much comparison between, you know, the young players that you're getting now and the young players that you had then?
You know, I think that I'm going to say the overall depth might have been deeper in Chicago when we're there. And that's why some of the players we've added here, I think, help extend the depth in our lineup. And I thought that having four lines was important for us, important for our success. And some nights, you know, you couldn't tell which was our first, second, and third lines a lot of nights. And I think that was one of the strengths of our teams back in the early days. And I think that if we can build a lineup where all of a sudden we're a little bit more unpredictable, deeper in our lineup offensively and defensively, that can really help us. And I think that's a lot of nights when you get deeper in the playoff runs, a lot of times those are the teams or lines that jump out and all of a sudden they're scoring a big goal and making a difference to winning games and winning series as well. So I think that's something that we're looking to improve upon, but I still think our young guys got a lot of growth in their game. And I think finding a way to playing meaningful games for them is going to be fun for their careers and find out how far we can go with it.
You know, you were obviously coaching in another conference and didn't play them very often. But when you were with Chicago, what were your thoughts on the Panthers?
They would give us some nights. We had some tough nights in that building. They beat us by some lopsided scores a couple of times. I always thought they had a dangerous team. I thought they were quicker. They had a lot of skill in their lineup. And I think that's how we see it right now. I think that improving on our defensive part of our game with a focus that playing without the puck is as important as playing with it is something that we'll have the puck a lot more with an emphasis on that area. But I think it's a team, especially the last couple years, it's a team that looks like they're playoff capable. And what we saw this year, playoffs, anything can happen. And especially when you're going to be in a tough division that we are, you know, there's no easy matchups, but hey, you got to beat the best if you want to win it anyways. So that's kind of where we're going to be at and trying to achieve that.
When Chicago went to Florida, though, in addition to tough games, did you get any good deals at the Outlet Mall across the street?
You know what? I hadn't been there before. That was in town there the other day, but it's pretty convenient. Right, yeah. Next to the rink. Yeah, very good.
Yes, it is. You know, I wanted to ask you about Bobrovsky specifically. You know, Jeff and I were talking that there was a time this year where, you know, we kind of all wondered, you know, what had happened. And, you know, was he not going to be the goalie and get the big free agent contract that we all thought he was going to get because he didn't look right? And then after that first period in the playoffs against Tampa Bay, when he got off the mat and rediscovered his game, it was like the switch went back on and he was dynamite. And I just wondered, you know, watching as you got a chance to this year, was there a point where you looked at him and said, you know what, he might not potentially be an answer for a team in the future?
Well, we know the importance of goaltending, and when you look at different goalies, I think he's got the capability of winning games outright. He's very athletic. He's probably the hardest working guy on every team he's been on. Very thorough in how he prepares. He's one of those guys that is always looking to enhance his game. Real student of the game, not like your traditional goaltender, but he really does have a schedule on how to prepare during the off season. That's second to none. I believe that in the right environment, how we play around them can complement his game. But he is a very active goalie, and his athleticism is amazing as well. So we're going to do everything we can. We know goalies have stretches where they're going to be, you know, as good as anybody in the game. They're going to have some stretches where all of a sudden we got to recapture their confidence. And I think that's all part of goaltending. It's over a course of a season that, hey, he's been through a couple, you know, he's had a couple of Vezina years that we know he's capable of being as good as anybody. We want to make sure that he's comfortable, confident in himself and the net, and we'll try to play that way in front of him. I think he's one of those guys going to exude confidence to the players in front of them, and that's an area where we have to get better as well.
You know, you're a left-shot defenseman going back to the Windsor Spitfires in the mid-70s. You've seen a lot of defensemen come and go. You've played with and against legends. You've coached some world-class defensemen, specifically in Chicago. I'm curious, Joel, from your point of view in 2019, what do you want defensemen to do? What's a 2019 defenseman do in the NHL right now?
I love defensemen that are active in the attack. I like defensemen that are active in the offensive zone with and without the puck. I like defensemen that are really comfortable with their positioning at the point in the offensive zone, kind of like the way St. Louis did. Nobody had more patience to hold in the offensive blue line than they did. So we want to get strong in that area. The gap starts right there in that offensive zone. Contest all the lines as they're coming up ice. And then as a group of five on our own end, we want to make sure that there's way more predictability. You know, we want to make sure we go to people quick. We want good sticks. We want good positioning. We want to be hard to play against. You know, so I think all the things that you'd always want from your defenseman, and it really hasn't changed how we want our defense to play. But that's the game. And I think that the game we want to play is we want the puck. And defending is important as well. But keeping it as part of it. But let's make sure that when we don't have it, let's check to get it back quickly. And I think all our D should be looking to do that in all three zones. And I think that a little mobility, a little balance on all the pairs as well is something that you look for. So that's what we're envisioning our defense to look like. But we know that's got to be in an improved area. And not just from the defense complementing that end, that we need all the forwards to help out.
Dovetailing that question, Joel, which defenseman then on your blue line can still give more in your estimation? Which defenseman should we expect more from this coming season?
I think everyone. You know, you look at the young guys, and look at Ekki and Matheson. I think both guys are young guys that have a lot of upside. You know, they've got some great skill. They do a lot of good things with the puck. I think that you know, offensively, in the offensive zone, they got some good imagination as well. We can be better off the rush as a defensive group. We can be better with our gap, I think, in our own end. I think that's the whole area where we want to get better at. And I think in Anton Stroman coming in, he's one of those guys, a reliable, experienced defenseman that can stabilize and take some minutes up and help matchups as well. You know, Jans is a guy that offensively has... and I thought that he had a tremendous year last year, you know, put a power play right up there on the top of the league. We like what he brings. You know, we got Weegar, Pisick, Brown, some guys that can play. But as a group, I think that everybody, we should be expecting more from one another and not be satisfied with what happened last year, because we know that defense wins, and we all need to absorb some more of the ownership and leadership in the team. And I think and having a strong back end and a more consistent one is what we're going to strive to do.
Joel, I just want to take it back into the year. You know, after the change was made in Chicago, you could have come right back in. I mean, it's no secret that teams wanted you. You decided to take some time and spend some time with your family. What was the rest of the year like? How much hockey did you watch? You know, what kinds of things did you do? Like, what maybe did you get a chance to do with your family that you that a hockey coach rarely can do during the season?
Well, we got to spend some time up in Colorado. Over Christmas time, we got to spend time with the family up there and got some skiing in. Got to visit our daughter in Australia for a few weeks there as well. And then got away a little bit from the game. And get to watch. And then was later on, you know, I don't think there was a whole lot of opportunity then. That was, you know, it was fine to take the year off. And we're watching some teams play down the stretch is where we're at. And, you know, and I still like watching horse racing as we go along in the off season or season. And so that's part of it. That's we keep busy in that area. But we're mostly at the end of it back in Chicago. And but we're... you know, we're certainly excited about going down there in a nice climate and looking forward to, you know, finding a way to have a successful team here in South Florida.
You do know that everybody was joking you picked the Panthers because of the racetrack right near the team, right?
It's you know, I still haven't been there yet, but I'm looking forward to it there. Opening day at Saratoga today. You know,
you know, I'm just curious, after just some time, do you think there'll be anything different about you? Do you think your coaching will change at all? Just the fact that you got some rest and got a chance to recharge. Is there anything different about Joel Quenneville?
Well, you got to be yourself. You got to be you. I think that one thing I like our teams, we like to play a comparable game. We like to pressure the puck. We like to, you know, play an offensive type game. And then when we don't have the puck, we want to make sure there's a rhyme or reason how we're checking. So that's me. You know, we want to make sure that we're playing fast and as simple as possible is basically our regular approach. And so I think that's where we're at. We want to encourage everybody to be a part of the leadership group. And, you know, let's take pride in where we're at and let's take the next step as a group here.
Joel, I want to put you in the Wayback Machine here for a couple of moments because I don't know that I've ever seen another team in the NHL produce more NHL coaches than your Hartford Whalers. Between yourself and Dave Tippett and Kevin Dineen and John Anderson and go all down the line to the Ulf Samuelsons and the late Mark Reeds and Randy Lattisore and right, like there were so many coaches that came from that Hartford. Do you have any explanation, Joel, why that squad was able to produce so many bench bosses and assistant coaches in the NHL?
You know what? It's amazing. You know, you figure it out, and we can go on and on. Almost every single guy. You know, I think when you look back in the day, you know, it's a testament to Jack Evans, what he brought us all. And, you know, we had some guys that I think a guy like Tippy was a student of the game, hard worker, found a way to get things done on the penalty killing side. You know, Ronnie was a guy, smart player, was, you know, cerebral type guy. Everybody else was different. Kevin, hard worker, all feet kind of a pain. myself, you know, ordinary defenseman. So everybody was a kind of a different player. And, you know, so it was, there's no explanation other than back in the day where, you know, you had to get a job when you're done playing. And now I've been fortunate to, you know, Cliff gave me a great start with Toronto and their organization down in Newfoundland. And appreciate him and grateful ever since. And I've been lucky with being with some really good teams and some great organizations over the past. But to say exactly why, I don't know, but we back in the day, we didn't make a lot of money, and you know, these guys today, it's a different pay scale. But our group, you know, stayed in the business, and today's day, there's a lot more opportunities because there's so many more jobs available. Right. Back in the day, there wasn't many, but you know, we're fortunate to be a part of it, and then we all are as we go along here, we've all remained friends and our wives as well have connected as well and stay in touch.
Well, then. Perhaps in the obvious follow-up, because there is an example in Florida, who of the current players that you've either coached or are about to coach in Florida could you see coaching in the NHL?
Oh, I can't wait to find out. I'm looking forward to seeing these guys that, you know, you find out about players quickly, and I think that everybody has a unique quality about them, you know, and I think that certain guys that whether the most competitive guy or the way they think the game, how they approach the game. So it's a new group for me, and forecast anything right now would be way too premature, but it won't take long.
Two last ones for me. Number one, there's got to be someone from all those players you play with in Hartford that you look at and say, I cannot believe that guy ended up being a coach. Who is that guy?
I'd probably say me first.
No way.
You know, I think that off that team, you know, Kevin and I are probably the ones guys that we're going to say, okay, here we are. And we're working together for a long time there in Chicago. And nice to see him moving on. And then we have, I mean, there's so many guys. I mean, every one of them. I mean, Pee-wee being a broadcaster, you know, is so fitting.
And the last one I have, Joel, is you hit the ultimate. You won three cups in Chicago. And the thing that I wonder is the most fun you have working in this business is seeing people win the Stanley Cup. And St. Louis this year, and you have a connection to St. Louis after everything they'd been through as a franchise, seeing them win and that city celebrate. What's the best thing about winning to Joel Quenneville?
The best part about winning the cup is the trying to win the cup. And I think that each and every round, you get a different test, a different challenge. You get different answers from your team. And that road and that memory, each and every round to finally capturing the cup is to me the best part about it. And the roller coaster of the highs and the lows, and then after recapturing whether it was a great play or a signature block shot or a whether it was a big hit or a big save. You know, those are the things you remember most and make you the most proud of being a part of something special. But everybody has their moments over the course of that playoff run that were the important piece of the team's success. And I think that's one of the things that made it special in Chicago. We would have each and every one of the cups there. It was almost somebody different would pop in and do a key play or something was memorable. But the most thing that was the thing that was that stood out over the time it was that our top players deeper in series made a big impact on the outcome.
You know, and one of the great visuals and lasting moments from one of your cup runs was Brent Seabrook calming down Jonathan Toews in the penalty box. From a coach's point of view, what went through your mind when you saw that?
Well, I was happy that it happened because I didn't get a chance to get a hold of Johnny because he didn't get to the bench before he got to those other two penalties. But that shows leadership. That shows familiarity with the player and put him in the right place as far as where he needed to be at that moment. And then Johnny's fine. He's an emotional guy, but he's the best leader I've been around in that regard. So he's the privilege to have him in that situation. Seabs, commend him on how his leadership is on the team. Probably the most vocal guy in the leadership department on the team.
To be completely honest, I was sick and tired of hearing everybody talk about everything that Johnny's doing right. You know, he's a great player. He's one of the best in the league. And I just told him that he's got to stop thinking about that too. He's got to stop thinking about everything that he's doing right and stop worrying about not scoring goals. I mean, he's got to score goals for us. He's a big part of our team. When he's going, we have a chance to win, you know, as well as, you know, Kaner and Sharpie and Haas and Big C. All our forwards have to be going. And I knew he was going to be playing great. It wasn't about the little things that he does. It wasn't about, his leadership that he brings. I thought that maybe he needed to start thinking about scoring goals, and it was big for him last game. I thought it was huge to get that goal, and then I think it definitely lifted up the boys and sort of got him rolling there. So it was good.
So good recognition by him, and going on and coming back in that series was obviously a huge comeback and some critical moments, but that was one of them.
You've been part of some big moments yourself and some big Stanley Cup wins, some big victories, and some great moments in the NHL. We wish you more with the Florida Panthers. Enjoy the rest of your offseason, and we'll talk to you. Oh, yes, Elliot has one more thing.
I just want to say, while we were finishing this, I was looking up. I've got Blurred Line, the number 3 horse, 5-1 in the first race at Saratoga today. Thank you for the tip.
Okay, there you go. I'm going to watch. Okay, I'll find out. Okay.
Thanks for doing this, Joel. All the best next season.
All right, thanks, guys.
Okay, so thank you to Joel Quenneville of the Florida Panthers, their head coach. The reason I asked the coaching question is because Derek McKenzie has now made that transition from on the ice right behind the bench. And I'm always curious about that with Elliot. And it's so hard to pick out, especially not knowing the players, not knowing all of them personally and what their ambitions are or whether they can afford to take the salary decrease. But I'm always curious of which players would make the best coaches. And listen, Joel mentions it, and quite rightly, like, even though he jokes about it, I don't know that anyone was thinking that when Joel Quenneville was playing that he was going to turn into not just a coach, but a coach at the ultimate successful level.
Well,
like he's one of the best ever.
The one thing I'll disagree about, because I remember when he played in Toronto, he got traded to Colorado in the Lanny McDonald deal, is that I remember as a kid reading at the time that people talked about him being a coach on the ice. So I think there were people who saw him in that way. As for the second part of your question, I mean, whoever knows who's going to win the Stanley Cup, right? I mean, it's so hard to win. You know, we've talked about this at length. Craig Berube was on nobody's favorite list to get another chance. He did a phenomenal job and was a major reason that they won the Stanley Cup. And I think people always believe that he had that ability to be a coach, but, you know, he was a big driver in that Chicago team. I love, there's that one clip of him coming off the ice, bleeping great win. You ever seen that? Like, I love that because that's not the Joel Quenneville you see a lot. He is, even in the interview, he tends to be very straightforward unless you can ask him a question that gets him on the other way. He's an all business guy, and at least publicly. And I like to see like him drop that a bit to see what he was like after that big win. I love that clip.
For my money, not sure about yours, nobody behind the bench has a better death stare than Joel Quenneville. Like, we've all seen animated Joel.
Yeah.
We've all seen that behind the bench. I really enjoy seeing seething Joel. Now, Babcock's got a really good death stare, too.
So does Berube.
So does Berube, but for my money, no one does the death stare better than Joel Quenneville, because you can just feel, and he wears it facially, how much he's seething inside, and whether it's a play or a call or whatever. No one does it better. Remember, Vince McMahon would always say, you make your money with your face. He would tell all his wrestlers that. You make your money with your expressions. To me, the Joel Quenneville expression on the bench, it's Picasso.
Yeah, they are. Pretty spectacular. I'm not going to disagree with you there at all.
Quick thought on the Florida Panthers for next season.
Look, last couple of years, New Year's Day, we knew it was Tampa, Boston, Toronto, right?
Yep.
It's going to be different this year. They're going to threaten somebody.
Yep.
They're absolutely going to threaten somebody. And, you know, I don't think Detroit's ready. I'm not sure Buffalo's ready. You know, I don't know where a lot of those other challenges. Ottawa's rebuilding. Montreal's going to be a really interesting one. That's, you know, Montreal and Florida are the two teams that are coming to really knock out that trio. And I think Florida's going to be a force. They're going to scare some people.
We thank Joel Quenneville for stopping by the Summer Series of Podcasts, and we thank Thomas Trance for hooking that up with us with the Florida Panthers. Thanks for joining us on 31 Thoughts, the podcast. Hope you're enjoying your summer. Stop thinking about hockey. Go do something. Go do something. Want to hear a good Scotty Bowman story?
Okay.
So, Will Acton told me this. I was working out with Willie this week, and he must have got it from his dad. So, Scotty Bowman, when the Habs were on the road and he wanted to catch guys breaking curfew, you know what one of his tricks was?
What?
He would give the doorman at the hotel a Montreal Canadiens jersey. And he said, look, I'll give you another jersey, but for this one, any of my team come in after midnight or whatever, here's a marker. Ask them to autograph your jersey.
I've heard this one.
And then the next morning at breakfast, he'd ask, who broke curfew? No hands would go up. He goes, well, you all signed in here after 12 o'clock last night.
Yes, I have heard this story. It is an awesome story.
That is genius.